thankful today for the Lord. I'm thankful that He's my Redeemer. Thankful He's my burden bearer and head lifter, and I owe my life, my all to Him. The Lord's inspired me with a thought about Him. Don't think we could continue just in the vein that I began all afternoon. What is the Lord? What He is to us? And we remember going through one time and just jotting down the names or the titles that I could find of what God said He was. Our fortress, our buckler, our shield, and all of those things. And I don't recall the number, but it was a very long list by the time we got finished of all that the Lord is to us. I'd like to consider one aspect of God. It's an aspect that I believe is, we find largely missing in our world today, or in large parts of our society. And we heard the word this morning dealt with about covenant. I'd like to consider the thought of a God of covenant. Begin maybe in the 17th chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 17. This wasn't the first time that the Lord had presented Himself unto Abram, had appeared to him, had given him a promise that He would bless him and bless his seed that was after him. We read in the 15th chapter that he believed in the Lord and it counted it to him for righteousness. And he made an offering, a sacrifice unto the Lord, because he asked, Lord, how will I know that these things are true, that they're so? And the Lord told him to take these sacrifices, these animals, and to divide them asunder. And if you look at the Hebrew word for covenant, it implies a dividing asunder. By the sense of what Abram did here, not only in this account, but throughout the Lord's dealings with His people, He told him in a number of places that you cleave asunder, you cut asunder the animal, and this is a sacrifice, it's an offering, it's a token unto me that you present, that's a covenant. And so he did that, and the Lord presented Himself unto Abram and confirmed the promise, the covenant that he had presented to him. Picking up now in the 17th chapter, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. The Lord, we see here, desired to have a covenant with Abram. Called him Abraham then. A covenant with Abraham and with his people, with his lineage, that he could have a people that he could call my people, and that those people would call him our God. He wanted to have this relationship with his people. A covenant is something that is more than a fleeting whim, a fleeting thought or idea, or a puppy love as we might think of it. It's entering into a deep, perhaps the deepest level of commitment that we could enter into. Don't we find sometimes that commitment is lacking today? We hear about times gone by where you didn't have to have quite so many contracts and papers and sign here, and you've got to have your autograph there just to protect and to cover and to make sure that you'll keep your word and to make sure that you won't do something contrary to what you said, and you have to testify under oath and all these kind of things, that a man's word doesn't seem to mean as much anymore. We certainly see it when it comes to marriage in our world today, that marriage is now treated so lightly. Marriage is treated so lightly and flippantly that it's something that enter into, and you say a promise, you say your vows, but that's really all that there is to it. It's just words, and And it's something that if we decide that we're incompatible down the road, it's so easily absolved at a court of law, and you could absolve that union. The Lord doesn't look at a covenant that way. The Lord doesn't look at a covenant as being something just on a whim that I can absolve or I can back out of like that. The Lord takes very seriously a covenant, a vow that's made before Him. We see in this the Lord's desire and His relationship with His people that the Lord was covenanting Himself. The Lord was promising Himself. He was committing Himself unto His people forever. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, He says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, not consumed. Because I am the Lord, because I don't change, I remember the covenant that I've made with you. I remember the promise that I made to your fathers. I haven't forgotten it. Oh, how many times did His people forget Him? Forget the promise we read in one place that when they in their trouble or in their distress, when they turned to the Lord would hear them and the Lord would have mercy. In their trouble, they remember the Lord. Whenever they needed something, whenever they were distressed. Oh, it's so easy for people sometimes to make vows to the Lord whenever they're in trouble. Whenever they're suffering or whenever they're in pain or whenever there's a real problem in their life. Lord, if you'll do this for me, if you'll take care of that for me, Lord, I'll follow you. I'll serve you. I'll live for you. The Lord has made a covenant that's something that we can believe in, that we can depend upon, because He said that, Scripture says that with Him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's sure and He's steadfast. His word, as we heard this morning, Psalms 119 and 89, they said, forever settled in heaven is the word of God. You remember what else is spoken of heaven? Jesus said, put your treasures there, because there rust doesn't corrupt. Thieves don't break through and steal. The moths don't get into it and corrupt or defile it. There's something secure about that. There's something that changes. The only sure thing in life, it seems like, is that there'll be change. That there'll be seasons of life. We read about it in Ecclesiastes. There is a time and a season. There's a time of weeping and a time of rejoicing. A time of mourning, a time to dance, and all those things. Even through the seasons of our life, there are ups and downs, there are mountains and there are valleys. But one thing that is constant throughout it all is the covenant that the Lord has made to us. I will be your God. I will be the God of the mountain, and I will be the God of the valley. All these things through life might change, but I will never change. I'll be forever the same. The word that I've given, because I don't change, you can depend on it. You can have faith in it. You can build your life on it, because it's forever settled in the heavens. No opinion of man, no government, no popular opinion polls and all of that will change who the Lord is, will change my mind, will cause my word to be of none effect. No matter if all men should not believe, it won't make my word of none effect. It's still forever settled in the heavens and unchanging. I'm thankful. So thankful that we serve a God like this. A God of covenant. By Him the world is held in place. By Him the elements are held together. Until the time when He speaks the word and they'll be loosed and dissolved in a moment. In an instance. But it is held together by the word of His power. Physics work because God is the author of it. Science works, true science, because He is the author of it. We're able to look into hundreds of years in the future if time should stand and know when an eclipse will be. Know whenever the stars and the movement of that and exactly where it'll be at a precise point of time. Not because man is so amazing, not because man is so knowledgeable, but because there is an unchanging God. Because there is a God of covenant. A God that you can depend on. It's a song that's been going through my mind. Friends may turn away when they're needed, and riches may turn into rust. Life may end just when it is sweetest. Our bodies then turn back to dust. But you can depend on the strength of the Savior, and you can depend on His power to save, and you can be sure that He knows all your troubles, and you can depend on the love that He gave. Because of who He is, that He is a God of covenant that has given His word and His promise and that doesn't change. We can believe and we can have confidence and assurance throughout our lives. Jeremiah, the 5th chapter. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 22. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for a bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? Though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. Because I've made a perpetual decree. This is the bound of the sea. You're not able to defy this. You're not able to go beyond that. Though the storms rage, though there are hurricanes and there are tsunamis and there are things like that that may show the awesome power of God and His creation, yet there is a bound and a decree that He has set that's forever the same. The laws of gravity, the laws of physics have never changed except when the Lord says, change. Whenever the Lord says, axe head, float to the top. Whenever the Lord says, I'm going to walk on the water. Then are the laws of physics able to be defied. But though the waters roar and the storms of life may cause us to tremble, yet we can have assurance and faith in a God of covenant. He's made a promise to us. Thank the Lord for it. Let's look at Isaiah 46. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 4, starting in verse 3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am He. Even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me? And make me equal and compare me that we may be like? That's the easy answer. It's the given there. There's no comparison. There's no one that's able to say, I'll always be there for you. I'll always be able to be there. Before you're ever born, I saw you. Your very members of your body, they were known unto me and they were counted and numbered, and I had a plan for you, and I knew you from the moment that you were conceived, all the way throughout your life. Man, I'm not going to forget you whenever you're past the prime of your life, whenever you find your strength beginning to decline. It doesn't change my strength. It doesn't change my power or who I am, and I'm still there for you. I'm still the same for you. I'm still the same God for you. Whether you can see or whether you can't, whether you can walk or whether you can't, I'm still the same God. You can depend on me in your old age, even like whenever in your youth. Thank the Lord for a God that does not change. That's not that we don't worship our own selves, our own ability, our own prowess or strength, but we put and anchor our faith and our hope in a God of covenant. In one that does not change. And so He gave that decree. The storms, the waves, though they roar and they'll roar, the storms will come our way. The waves will lift up. The Lord did not ever promise a life of calm seas. He didn't ever promise a life of ease and of absence of storms. But He did promise, whenever you go through the waters, they will not overflow you. Whenever you pass through the fire, it will not kindle upon you. You're going to go through these places. You're going to go through difficulty. But when you're in the fire, I am still the same. I'm there for you. It's been tried and proven to be so. When you're in the fire, I'll be the fourth man there with you. I'll be the one, the God that's still there when the flames are there. I don't melt whenever the flames get to a hot temperature. I don't melt like the plastic and the wood and even the metal gods of this world. To whom will you liken me? To whom will you say we are alike and equal? Oh, may we remember that we serve a God of covenant, a God of promise who forever changes not by perpetual decree. He gave a decree. We heard about it a bit last weekend. He gave a decree, a covenant unto Noah. After the waves did bypass those bounds, and whenever he did cause the waters to overflow the face of the whole earth, yet at the end of that he came and he revealed himself unto Noah. As Noah presented, we heard about sacrifice, a sovereign God and sacrifice. Noah saw the sovereignty of God, and there was something within Noah that naturally cried out, "My God, I owe you something here. Lord, I owe you a sacrifice. I realize who you are, and I want to give myself and all to you." And the Lord smelled a sweet savor all the way from heaven. He smelled that, and the Lord responded. A covenant is not just a one-way empty promise, but it is a two-way agreement that's entered into. As Noah gave himself unto the Lord, and the Lord smelled that, and the Lord looked down on that and said, "I accept that. And here's my covenant to you. As long as you see that bow in the sky, you can know there is now a perpetual decree that the waves will not be able to pass over their bounds. They'll not be able to overflow the world." Has it ever not been so? It's always followed that decree, even unto old age, throughout the generations. The Lord is forever the same. There's a scripture that I'm not sure that I... maybe it's in Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7 in the 9th verse. "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." You know how many generations there have been since creation of time? I don't think you do, because I don't think anyone does exactly. But the best that we can tell, it's in the low hundreds. This says to 1,000 generations. But you know, if the Lord did allow time to stand through 1,000 generations, his faithfulness wouldn't end on the 1,001st. What the Lord means by 1,000, and we could get off into a whole other subject here of millennial reign and all of those kind of things. When the Lord uses 1,000 in this manner, forever, it's a perpetual decree. I'm always the same to your generation. We can look at the world that's coming on and we can wonder what will be to the generation that's after us. And I don't think mine is the only generation that has wondered sometimes. Is it even good to bring children into the world anymore? Is it even good when you look at the wickedness all around? But praise God, we serve a God of covenant. We serve a God that throughout all generations is the same. It's not the first generation to face wickedness and evil. Yes, it's abounding more and more on every hand, and I don't know what it's going to come to, but what we can be assured of is that God is forever the same, that his grace will not fail our children and our grandchildren if they will avail themselves of it. He'll be there for them just as he is for us, and just as he was for our fathers that went before us, because he has established his covenant unto us throughout all generations. And he says, "I am he that keepeth covenant. I am the one that observes it, that keeps it throughout all time, even to 1,000 generations." We heard a bit again this morning about that covenant. There was a covenant of the type where the Lord told the children of Israel, "As long as you follow me, As long as you obey me, then I can be a God unto you. But if you're going to go and bring defilement into the camp, you're going to go worshiping other gods, I can't be a God unto you. I can't, this covenant's a two-way agreement. The Lord gave the law. The Lord gave understanding of what is they were to do to keep the law, to keep this covenant. We live under a New Testament, which is similar to the word covenant, a new agreement between God and man. That I'll write my law on the table of your hearts, not on hard tables of stone anymore, but I'm going to write my law in your hearts. It's now a covenant of grace through Jesus Christ, not of our own works, lest any man should boast, but lest the flesh should rejoice and say, oh good, I'm off the hook. That's not what that means, is it? It doesn't absolve us of a responsibility to the Lord, that I covenant myself unto the Lord as well, that I give myself to the Lord. And then it's not by our works or our own grace or ability. Are works required? Certainly they are. It requires of us a belief. It requires of us a faith. It requires of us obedience to the law and the statutes of the Lord. Let's look at Psalms, the 56th chapter. Psalms 56 and verse 10, in God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto Thee. Verse 12 there says, Thy vows, the promises, the covenant that You have made. Oh, may we each be inspired and encouraged to realize the promises of the Word of God, they were written many, many years ago, and yet they are for me. And they're for you. They're for every one of us individually. Maybe you've seen, I remember at the Gutwein's house, they had a, believe it was sent to them, maybe in one of their sicknesses. The scripture, I believe, fear thou not, for I am with thee. And in the place of that thou, fear thou not, and I believe it was John, or fear thou not, Della, for I am with thee. It's very personal to us. It's the promises of God. They're sure and they're steadfast. They're yea and they're amen. But it's not something that's abstract. It's something for every one of us. He said, thy vows are unto me, or are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. All right, but I'd like to look now at the 50th chapter of Psalms. Psalms 50. Verse 9, 50 and 9. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. You know, this God of covenant is looking from us for us to be a people of covenant, for us to give ourselves unto the Lord, to be willing to make vows unto the Lord of what we'll give and what I'll give unto the Lord. In a time, in a world today where cohabitation is on the increase, marriages, and seems like so many of them dissolving, but on the other hand, there are many who are not even taking it to the point of marriage. We'll just live together, we'll try it out, we'll have a relationship together, and we'll live like husband and wife, but I'm scared of commitment. I don't want to tie myself to this thing. Now, how would that make you feel? If the one that you're giving yourself to says, I'm not sure enough as to be willing to give my vow and my promise unto you. You think the Lord wants that from us, that we be wishy-washy or uncertain, or, Lord, I'm gonna try it. I want to live for you. I don't know if I can or not, but to have it settled. To have it fixed. Lord, I'm going all the way with you. And everything is predicated on by your grace. For I can do nothing without his grace. But Lord, my purpose, my determination, my vow, Lord, I'm going all the way with you. Make thy vows. Pay thy vows unto the Lord. I was talking to the farmer that farms our land just the other day, and he was saying the soil needs quite a bit of work, quite a bit of investment, fertilizer that needs to be put into the soil. Oh, and over the course of a number of years, he said the fields next to us that he's been doing for many years, they're yielding a lot more than ours is. So he wanted to be able to invest, but he wanted to know from me, what are your plans for an agreement between us? Because if he's going to invest in that soil, he wants to know that I am committed to this. He wants to know that he's not going to go and put everything into this, and then next year I say, never mind, I'm out of this. But he wants to be able to, a mutual agreement. I'm going to invest in this, but I want you to have some commitment to this as well. If it's that way between man and man, surely between God and man, the Lord wants that we should be willing to covenant ourselves unto him, not in uncertainty or in hesitancy or just kind of test the waters, but that we would be willing to make a covenant. I've told the story before of King John of Bohemia. It was in, if I recall correctly, the 12th or 13th century, maybe the 14th, got it within a few hundred years at least. This king was blind, and as he was going into battle, he wanted to go into battle, he wanted to saddle up and go horseback right into the heat of the battle. Well, he's blind, but he was a king that was loved by his subjects, those who were under him, and so they made an agreement with him, king, we're going to go with you. And so they saddled up their horses, and they lined them up, and they tied the bridles of each of the horses together. Because whenever we get into the battle, our purpose right now is, king, we're going all the way with you into battle. If you die, we're dying with you. If you fall, we're going to fight beside you until we fall as well. That's our purpose. It's our determination. Well, I think Peter had that kind of idea as well. Lord, though all men forsake you, not me. Lord, I'm not going to go back on you. So those men, whenever they were talking there and making their purpose and their determination, they decided we're going to tie the bridles of the horses so that if we get into the heat of the battle and I'm tempted to turn around and go back, it's too late. I've already tied the knot. There's no going back. You know, it's what our covenant is to be. I've already made a promise. It's not about if I feel like it. Marriage isn't about that, is it? Marriage isn't about on the days that I feel good. Whenever I feel cheerful, or whenever there's something I feel like I'm benefiting, or then that's as long as it can be successful. No, there's a time, whether I feel like it or not. I made a vow back there, and I'm going to keep that covenant. I'm going to keep that promise. I told you I'd stand there beside you. I told you I'd care for you. Whenever I feel like it or when I don't, Lord, help me not to be a sunshine soldier. But by my covenant, by the vow that I make to the Lord, that I would do like those men did with King John. Lord, I love you. Lord, where you go, I'll go. Your people are my people. And Lord, I'm going to go with you all the way until the end. Folks, when there's something less than that, it gives the devil a toehold. It gives the enemy a place that he can begin to work when the battle gets hot. Whenever all the enemy, whenever pain can be a mind-altering thing. And whenever I get into distress and I get into pain or suffering or affliction or temptation and the enemy and his accusations and all of that, when the enemy would try to convince, like he did the children of Israel, just turn around and go back to the land of Egypt. I can say, no, I made a vow. I made a promise. I tied a knot with the Lord saying, I'll never go back. Whether I feel like it or whether I don't. I'm in this until I die. Those kind of vows to the Lord. It does come with a seriousness. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. 5 and 4, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. You know, we could get into a place as a result of that, that it's just better off to not make a vow. It's just better off to not make any commitments here. And I just stay in a place of indecision and lack of commitment. Too many folks, I fear, in our world today, even in endeavoring to live for the Lord or to follow the Lord, I'm not really in it all the way. I'm not really fully committed to this thing. I still want to be in the periphery. I still want to get some of the benefits. I still want to follow, but I want to leave myself some escape options. I want to leave myself an option. Whenever they tied the knots of those horses' bridles together, they did away with the last option. This is it now. We're committed until death here. The Lord's not looking for us to be a people who are unwilling to make vows unto Him, but that we do not so rashly, that I don't just, oh Lord, I'm going to do something about that, and then I go my way and forget what manner of man I was, that I not treat the vows that I make to the Lord with the seriousness and the solemnity with which He treats His covenant. The Lord expects the same out of us. The promises that I've made to the Lord, the vow that I've made unto Him, I've tied the knot, and the Lord expects that I should pay that vow unto Him. Deuteronomy, the 25th chapter. Deuteronomy, I'm sorry, 23. Deuteronomy 23, 21. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. The Lord requires of us those things that we vow, but He wants us to vow. He wants us to be willing to stand up, as Elijah asked Israel, there on Mount Carmel, how long will you halt between two opinions? You gotta make up your mind. You gotta commit yourself to something here. You can't just stand on the fringes. You can't just try to hold on to both and be in a place of indecision. Commit yourself. Vow yourself unto the Lord. But you're gonna have to stand by it. There are gonna be times when the fire gets hot that you have to renew that vow, that you have to remind yourself of that vow. I've made a promise to the Lord here, and I'm not going back, because it says the Lord will surely require that of us. So the song said, you can depend on the Lord. You can depend on the strength that He has. But the question that I'd want to leave us with, in the spirit of a covenant, a two-way mutual agreement, can the Lord depend on us? Can the Lord depend on the vows, the covenant, the solemnities, the solemn agreements that I've made before Him? Can He depend on us whenever the fire gets hot? Can He depend on us whenever the storms begin to rage that we'll stand by the vows that we've made, by those covenant? The Lord has been willing to give of all for us. The Lord has been willing to said there of His people, and believe it's Isaiah the 5th chapter, what more could I have done that I have not done already? Speaking of, planted my vineyard in a very fruitful hill. I've done all this work. What more could I have done to it? The time comes and the Lord comes looking for fruit. And He has every right to expect that fruit. And so the Lord wants from us as well, by the covenant, by the faithfulness that we've seen in the Lord, that we'd show faithfulness to the Lord as well. That I'd be willing to tie the knot, double tight, double knot. I don't want this thing to come loose. whenever the hard times come. It requires a determination, requires a commitment throughout our lives, and from time to time a renewal of that commitment. You remember the time that Paul, slips my mind which city he was in, where he was stoned, dragged out of the city and stoned, and of course survived and went on his way to the next city, but it said he came back to that city. And he wanted to confirm them, and he wanted to exhort them that they would have with purpose of heart to cleave to the Lord. Don't give up. You're seeing some hardship around here. You saw what happened to me. Don't give up in fear. Don't let the enemy cower you down. With purpose of heart, cleave to the Lord. The knot begins to get a little bit loose. Retie the knot, because I don't want to let this thing slip. I'm thankful today for a God of covenant. I want to be faithful to Him. Pray for me.